Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesarino back here to talk with you about the week's most interesting news stories for the week of March 9th, 2021, here on News AF.
If a story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yes, that's right. Here we are back with Danny and Tyson live here on a Tuesday morning. So happy to be back with you to talk about all the news stories that we are covering for this week. Luckily, there was some news left over that wasn't all about Harry and Meghan and Oprah. And we will cover all of that here today with the News AF panel. First, joining us that we can hear him loud and clear. Although no video today in the live version here for this man, Tyson Apostle.
Whoop whoop!
Can you hear me loud and clear?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, good. I'm so self conscious because I know what a fine production we've always put on, and this hotel is to blame. And I am here. I'm not on an adventure anywhere. Well, I am on an adventure in San Diego with my family. But, yes. Yeah, we opted to turn off my camera in the hopes that I would sound clearer and less of a lag.
Yeah. And so far, so good. And listening to the audio version, probably perfect audio as per usual.
Yeah, it just sounds you have auto-tune on a little bit sometimes, Tyson, while you're talking.
It does?
Sing a song, you'll nail it.
I was thinking of a song.
Yeah.
I was thinking of a song to sing, and I couldn't come up with one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's some question about maybe are we being catfished? Beef Drew says that maybe this is just a Tyson impressionist. Make him admit something only the real Tyson knows.
I think that's valid. Okay, Tyson.
Yeah. Okay, Tyson imposter. What are the real Tyson sexual turn-ons?
Let me think.
Outside couches.
Outside sex couches.
Honesty.
Thank you, Danny. Outdoor sex couches. Honesty, integrity.
Black lights.
What'd you say?
Black lights and scorpions.
Black lights. Uh-huh. Scorpions have a phosphorescent exoskeleton. Surprised you didn't know that.
See, that was good. That's pretty good proof right there.
Yeah.
Only nature with Tyson would know that.
That's true. Yeah. And I found an abalone yesterday. They're off season, apparently, though. And I didn't want to eat it anyways, so I just left it be.
Yeah, you should be glad. I don't think you can just pick them up and eat them. It's not like the apples of the sea.
Now, well, there is some prep work that goes into it, but I also think if you came down to it, you could just do that if you had to.
Okay.
You're saying abalones are the apple of the sea?
I said they were not the apple of the sea.
What is the apple of the sea?
Kelp.
Kelp is the apple of the sea.
I'm just trying to think in terms of access. And I know that some people...
Without any preparation, you could just... pluck it straight from its source, scrub it on your shirt twice, and then bite into it. What is that thing that comes
electrolytes provided? There is nothing from the ocean because the ocean coats everything with a disgusting salty layer that must be cleansed.
The last time I was in Fiji, my friend Ethan was like, hey, these are ocean grapes. You can just pick these and eat these straight
ocean
off the
grapes.
Bottom of the ocean.
That doesn't sound right.
I'd never heard of it. They popped in your mouth and they were kind of salty, but had a taste to them. But it's probably the only time in all four times that I had gone on these adventures that I had pretty severe diarrhea the next day. And I blame it on the ocean grapes, which I have discovered are not the apple of the sea.
Yes. Okay. Be careful with the ocean grapes. Also with us is Danny Bryson. Danny, how are you?
I am great. Temperatures have warmed up to a balmy high 50s. Sunny.
Wow.
It's great. It's no Arizona, but or
short shorts and shirts off, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I want to just comment on that. I was following Danny Bryson's stories on Instagram. And, you know, again, like the latest, like, death-defying stunt. Tyson, I don't know if you saw this, but I was like so worried about it. I'm like, Danny, like we have a show on Tuesday. Be careful, because what were you snowboarding or skiing?
Skiing
on like this narrow pathway where like one wrong move, it's like goodbye, yeah. Danny.
Difficult tumble.
Was that down Rock rocks. Canyon?
No, it was behind Provo Peak. But
am
yeah,
I
you know,
dramatic, Danny. That seemed like particularly death defying.
Yeah, there is some risk.
It was
involved.
A shoot,
but Danny.
Yeah,
you have
it was
a family.
It's true. You sound like my mom.
He doesn't care about them. We've already established this.
Nothing has happened so far. This is what I always tell my mom, and she tells me to be careful. Yes, uh-huh. I am careful. Nothing's happened so far. So that's probably good evidence that everything will be okay in the future. So
okay.
Yes.
Rob,
that's math.
I my goal every time I go out is to make it back for Tuesday morning. Like yeah. if I'm somewhere yeah. in like a remote country, snowstorm, I'm dying, I haven't eaten anything in 10 days, I'll be like, I got to get back for Tuesday. I'll be eating Matt's dead corpse just to get back to news.
Yeah, I believe that. And also he's probably riding within his limits. So what seems extreme to some is fine for Danny. It's like I go out on a mountain bike and I'm a fine mountain biker, but I know my limits, and my limits exceed that of the average person. So when they watch me go on a downhill on a mountain bike, they're like, you are taking so many risks and chances, when in all actuality, I'm riding perfectly within my limits and would feel perfectly comfortable riding even without a helmet on most of that stuff.
Ooh, yeah.
Tyson,
don't endorse that.
Danny,
if I had to,
goes missing, presumed missing. Are mm-hmm. Do we do a show without him, or do we hold off and wait for him to be found?
Oh, do a show without me. 100%. Okay. Yeah, not even a question.
If anybody has seen Danny Bryson and knows his whereabouts, please contact the show.
Yeah, that could be very helpful. Yeah.
Although to our listeners out there, though, we should hopefully start searching for a obese voice double for Danny and for myself and for you, just so that the show can go on.
Yeah.
Even if something happens. So they need to master our voice, and then on top of that, master our personalities. And then forever and ever, this show will take place.
Okay. All right. So God forbid that should happen. All right. You ready to talk about some news?
Yes.
Okay. So of
always.
Course, we are always at the forefront of any news concerning what's going on with Gwyneth Paltrow and the Goop brand. Now, Tyson, while you are in California, maybe you want to swing up to Los Angeles so you could check out the brand new Goop kitchen.
So exciting.
Ooh.
Probably $10,000 yogurt.
And what's it got? It's just sprinkled in sex dust.
So moon dust.
It's Gwyneth Paltrow's health and dust. Wellness brand, Goop. They are launching
I hate it.
Goop Kitchen. As of right now, it's a delivery only concept, offering a menu of Goop's take on clean, delicious food.
Well, do we have a menu?
Dude,
have a menu, Rob, that you could read to us?
Yeah. So I'm working on bringing it up. The goopkitchen.com page is not loading, but we can go to their Instagram.
While you're bringing it up,
yes, Tyson.
I want to tell you that Rachel was reading the news on her phone the other day, and I kind of like got a glimpse of it. And I was like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, I'm just reading the news. I look over, it's goop.com. That's where Rachel gets her news from.
Yes.
She's fully immersed in the world of Goop, according to Gwyneth. Tyson, I'd be worried for your wallet.
What kind of stories? Should we be checking them for News AF stories on goop.com?
I didn't even want to get into it with her. I just was like, okay, you do you. This is why the earth is where it's at right now.
Hollow earth theories being pushed on Goop.
Yeah. Where's their news section?
Probably a little bit of everything.
I'm looking it up. I don't want this in my browser, but Let's see.
Yeah, I don't. I just saw her just scrolling through Goop, yeah. And it wasn't the shop. It looked like it was headlines and stories,
yeah.
And
yeah, looks like they do have some articles here. Of yeah, they have an article. Is it normal to be tired? I think so.
Yeah.
All the deep questions everyone wants to know, and no one understands.
On the pros and cons of sleep divorce. Sleep divorce. I don't even know what
that could
is.
Be true. I shouldn't laugh. I don't even know what that is. But the first one, is it normal to be tired?
Yeah. Oh, sleep divorce, Danny.
That's when
I don't know. You might. I don't know if you might like this. This is sleep divorce is sleeping separately from your partner.
Oh, that sounds. I know lots of successful relationships that practice sleep divorce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we ever explored that on this podcast. I've explored it on other podcasts. Is that something that you would be interested in? Separate beds.
Our bed is so large.
Yeah.
That I don't even. And my wife sleeps so still and on the edge of the bed, never moving. That you. I don't even know she's there half the time.
So you have a custom bed that's bigger than a king?
No, but it just feels bad because she's not very big. If I had to clone myself and sleep with myself in the same bed, I would need two separate beds because I'm the guy that moves constantly, pulling blankets, spreading out, overheating. I can't even believe that she hasn't sleep divorced me.
But not after some sexual encounters with yourself, right?
Who could say? That's a question for the future. But currently, all I know is that I could not be in a bed with myself if it was the clone of myself because it'd just be too much.
Too
probably
much.
Lead to fist
Opposites
fights.
Attract.
Yeah.
My biggest problem is my wife is a sheet stealer. That's the biggest issue in terms of it. But I feel like the sleep divorce, I feel like, is making things sound worse. Like, I think if you want to really try to get this idea trending, you need to give it a better name. Like, was it Gwyneth that had
sleep unity?
Conscious uncoupling?
Yeah. Yep,
yeah,
that's
I
right.
Think that Gwyneth is right there. What are you talking about sleep divorce for? It's an unconscious uncoupling. Yeah.
That's true.
A subconscious sleep.
What about uncoupling?
No, unconscious? That's it.
I like
Rob, you know what Rachel and I do? We have our own sets of blankets on one bed.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
that's a good idea.
I've had that advice also. I tried to tell my wife that. She said, "We're not doing that." Okay.
It's the best, dude. Then you can, you know, roll around in your sheets and covers however you want, and then you never have to steal. Plus, Rachel likes to sleep at, like, 7,000 degrees, and I like to sleep at, like, 65 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, you can show
got,
your
like,
dominance.
17 comforters.
By stealing all the blankets. Be like, these are mine.
That's true. That's what Nicole is doing to Rob, you think?
Yeah, breaking him down. He can't sleep at night. She's stealing all the blankets. Eventually... She'll reduce him to this just shell of a man.
Yeah. Okay. So I've got the too late. Order goopkitchen.com.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. So you can get the Goop teriyaki bowl.
Doesn't mushroom, sound bad.
Mushroom carnitas bowl. Yeah, I have to say that I was assuming that the prices were going to be pretty outlandish, but pretty reasonable. I really thought it was going to be like $30 for a sandwich.
What is it for that teriyaki bowl?
$14.50, but I don't know what the delivery fees are going to be there for.
Or how big it is.
Kitchen. Yeah. Maybe very tiny.
Yeah, that's surprisingly not flashy or expensive. I would have expected the complete opposite with
this
Goop.
Is where they get you on the $5.95 soft drinks.
Well, of course, but we all know soft drinks everywhere cost more. I mean, that's where they're making all their money. It's like, I don't make anything in the food, but I've made $1 million this month in soda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So people love soda.
Working on getting in on the food delivery market for over at Goop. Maybe they could be delivering their products also.
Why not? Get a... You know, a horse seed facial with your teriyaki chicken order. Why not?
Yeah.
With sprinkles of gold dust in both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, Danny, they do
and
have,
jade eggs.
Homemade seasonal soups. Okay. You tell me. All right, Danny, this could be it. They could be delivering to you. Japanese potato soup. Have you tried that one?
No. No. I bet it's good, though, because it's a soup.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
They've got Japanese.
That's your criteria for delicious.
Green chili chicken soup.
Oh, boom. That's the one I order. I'm like, walk right up to the counter, see that on the menu. I'm done.
Okay.
Look no further.
No further. I would get that. That sounds good.
All right. So, okay. The next time we get lunch, let's get, we're all together. Let's order in Goop.
Would an Uber deliver all the way from LA to here?
I think there's only one location.
No. Well, that's what I mean. Now you'd have to drive all the way up from LA to Utah to bring me my soup. I wonder if they would do that. Mm. We'd make tons of money and get a scenic drive at the same time.
Yeah. So. Okay. That's over at the Goop Kitchen, courtesy of Gwyneth Paltrow and the chefs. All right. So, you know what? Let's go from there. Let's talk about a different food establishment. Burger King. I don't know what they were thinking over at Burger King. Celebration of International Women's Day on Monday. So a big deal. Yep. And, you know, people wanted to salute all of the women out there. So Burger King decided to do an ad campaign for International Women's Day. The tagline for the International Women's Day celebration from Burger King is "Women belong in the kitchen."
Wow, dude. What we're watching here.
Ads.
Is another monarchy imploding.
Yes.
Was it the a patriarchy?
Well, no, it's a monarchy.
And monarchy, both.
Yeah.
It's the Burger King. Yeah, yeah,
that's
maybe
right. It is both.
Abolish the burger monarchy.
I think so. Notice how we've never met the queen.
They never
it's like
celebrate.
Always
the
about the king.
Queen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that might have been like today we salute the Burger Queen for International Women's Day.
Yeah, who we've held so sacred that we have not wanted to share her for fear of the public besmirching her.
Hmm. Yeah, or like the one thing she came up with was the Whopper, and it was so good we kind of hit her ever since then so that the king could have all the attention.
Yeah, and so what Burger King was alluding to is that they have a program called HER, Helping Equalize Restaurants Scholarship. They're awarding at least two $25,000 scholarships to culinary students.
Mm-hmm. So what it sounds like to me, it was a good idea with the bad.
Yes, they were doing something good, and the marketing missed it.
Did they hire the Jelly Belly guy? sounds like the idea of like the scholarship was a great idea from a young up and comer, but the ad for it was from some crusty old timer, you know, who used to work.
What's crazy is the ad probably went through many, many people before it got approved, and everybody was like, I love this. Yeah, no, people are definitely, once they see that, they're going to want to look into it more.
Yes. Unless he hired a bunch of yes men underneath him.
Well, the newspaper ad they took out was like giant block text, women belong in the kitchen. And then there's like microscopic fine print
that talks about
fine dining kitchens, food truck kitchens, award-winning kitchens, casual dining.
All the possible kitchens you women could be employed in the future. Lucky you.
Yes.
Look at all these possible kitchens. The sky's the limit.
Yeah. So, not great. Burger King really got a lot of hot water over this.
Why? I just don't understand how there's still people out there who thought, like Tyson said, multiple people thought this was a good idea.
Well, I think that they're like, well, we have to come up with something provocative if we want to get attention.
Ted, bring out the idea folder. It goes all the way back to 1955. Then he closed his eyes, reached in, and just grabbed one.
And went with it.
Yes. Yeah. Burger King, they did delete their tweets. They said, we hear you. We got our initial tweet wrong, and we're very sorry. We will do better next time. They were trying to draw attention to the issue. They deleted their tweet. It was brought to our attention. There were abusive comments in the thread, so we don't want to leave the space open for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wendy's should have just destroyed them.
Where was Wendy's while all this was going on?
Yeah, Wendy's is done, dude.
Yeah.
Wendy's is done. When's the last time they did something on Twitter? Come on.
One of them had a good Twitter game.
Yes.
Was it not?
Yeah, it was Wendy's. Wendy's had a
So you're saying
they had a fire Twitter game.
Yeah.
But it was borderline abusive. And I think that they probably, yeah, they were definitely bullying other fast food restaurants, but it was like funny enough that it was okay. And now it's like, I think they were turning more and more abusive. And finally they were like, shut it down.
Yeah.
Should Goop Kitchen have led with the Burger King marketing campaign of like, hey, look.
They probably would have done better with that.
Kitchen? Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. So, well, let's talk about some women who are at their local shopping mall and they are getting into some fisticuffs. Tyson, have you seen the Royal Rumble that took place at a Bath and Body Works?
All I saw was the headline and I was like, I just saw the headline and I saw like seven people piled on top of each other. And the first thing I thought was, I wish I could have been there.
Is this just an In-N-Out drive-thru?
You know, in person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
what's going on?
Tyson, but it was in Scottsdale.
And I'm all the way here in San Diego like a fool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could have been part of the news.
So what happened was somebody cut the line at the Bath and Body Works, and then this viral video was recorded with women just having an all-out brawl at the, like, and it's like there's like five different women that are in this fight.
So here's one report saying it all started because one person was standing too close to another and they started arguing.
Was this was like a COVID issue, Danny?
Yeah, I'm kind of trying to get some details because I saw just the video over and over again. It was all over the place. People love a good fight. Just it's like high school on the internet.
Yeah,
it really is, dude. It's so crazy that like it will draw you in immediately. Like I was fortunate enough to go to a junior high where there were multiple fights every day. So I looked forward to going to school all the time. As long as I could keep my nose out of the fights, it was going to be a good day.
Not as many fights when kids are doing school on Zoom.
Not as many,
but yeah.
Danny,
maybe different fights
for our audio listeners. Do you think that if I hit play, you could call the fight here?
Oh, it's not like all videos. It's very confusing. I think the phone gets dropped, too. Let's see. All right. Oh, shoving, punching, some punching, scratching. An employee, brings him down to the ground, dude. Now there's three people. I don't know, hair being grabbed.
Dude, it's all employees.
Employees are down there. They're getting into the mix. Now that another person has entered the fight, we've got five, six people.
An iPhone is dropped.
Yeah, I think it was called a melee, which I thought, I never want to be part of a melee. Oh, they're still fighting. They've gotten back up off the ground.
Oh, my gosh.
The fight has resumed. Employees,
That lady in the black top and black shorts looked like she wore her fight clothes, too.
Mm-hmm.
She knew what she was doing going to Bath and Body Works today. She was like, I'm just going to wear my fight clothes.
I would have thought that all of the smells in Bath and Body would bring you down. You know, anger wise, rage wise, if all you're smelling is lavender and vanilla,
it's like,
I mean,
yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. And even if not, it's so thick that it should, in a way, probably slow your reflexes and put your body into a state of inebriation.
If humans can fight in a Bath and Body Works, whatever, then they can fight anywhere because that's one of the more relaxing. It's filled with pillows. Why do they grab pillows?
Yeah.
I mean, so many options.
The fight, I feel like, was missing, like, somebody getting thrown into, like, one of the displays and then, like, stuff flying everywhere. That would have been, if it was
a movie.
That's
way too Hollywood.
Yeah.
Missed opportunity.
That's the move I would have been trying to do. Even if I got thrown into stuff, I would have tried to at least, like, make a mess.
Fights can happen so quickly.
You can tell the lady who the lady who showed up in her fight clothes was probably planning more stuff, but they sent her out first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think that this was viral promotion by the Bath and Body Works, Tyson, to try to get people talking about the Bath and Body Works? I feel like
for women's.
I feel like nobody's talked about them in a long time.
Yeah, this is the first time I've been interested in being like, you know what, Rachel, we're here. We may as well step in and see what's going on for a second. Go ahead and buy a candle.
What's happening?
So, yeah. Yeah, let's go see if any fights are happening. So, yeah, I definitely am more interested in stopping by, even maybe driving to that specific one and seeing, following up on the aftermath of the big fight.
Yeah.
You know, say we're there, we're in line behind where this the scrap takes place. Do you intervene as a person? Rob Tyson?
No, definitely not. I'm not getting scratched
not during COVID. I'm not like going to go and then like get in the middle of breaking up a fight.
People who intervene are so brave.
I get my phone out.
They're very, very brave. I don't know if I'm that type of person, but that Bath and Body Works, maybe she had built up frustration from working at the counter during all of COVID. And she's like, finally, I get to beat someone up. These customers are driving me crazy.
Yeah, but for years and years.
This candle didn't smell exactly like coconuts and mangoes. I'm returning it. And she's like, finally, I get to punch that lady.
Tyson, is there a store in the mall, Rob, that you would most like to get into a fist fight in?
Build-A-Bear.
I never want to get in a fist fight ever.
Yeah.
Build-A-Bear.
Build-A-Bear would be good because then the stuffing would be flying everywhere in the middle. Yeah, of it. That would be a great
dramatic.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. There's stores where Rachel can see that I'm visibly getting upset about being there. And she's like, just chill, dude. Just chill. And I don't even remember what it is because I have not been to a store in so long. It feels fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are saying Hot Topic. You don't want to get in a fight in Hot Topic. Although I feel like a lot of studded belts. Hot Topic.
It gets dangerous.
Yeah, but I feel like all those, I could probably take down most of those kids with just one swoop.
Yeah, but there's a lot of weapons that pass as like clothing that anyone could just grab off the wall. It's very medieval in there.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine getting whipped with the studded side of a belt? Oh.
Yeah, Tyson, it would be like when you went to medieval times to watch the duel.
Yeah.
People fighting in a Hot Topic.
That was great. Yeah.
I feel like Hot Topic is a place a fight would break out.
Where would you want to see a fight? You don't have to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. I think somewhere where the aisles are tight, so you definitely have to work around some obstacles, like Dillard's, where it's like, you want a shirt? Okay, here's 70 trillion shirts in no particular order. Go ahead and pick through them. This is where I want to see a fight.
Yeah.
No, I want a place with lots of breakables, you know, like shelves, poorly constructed shelves of like glass or
Pier 1 imports.
Yeah, maybe somewhere with lots of glass figurines.
Yeah, I think an IKEA would be good because the action can move from like one department to another.
Yeah, you're like, oh, we're in the bathroom. Oh, no, we've just moved into a bedroom set. Mm-hmm. And like you get you're right. It's always changing. So tactics have to change.
Yeah.
Kitchen to bathroom to bedroom. Smashing through displays.
Be a great video. Yeah.
Yeah. A vape shop, DePete says. That's got a lot of smashables. Yeah.
Where?
A vape shop.
A vape shop.
It's probably going to be too small, and I think there's just going to be glass everywhere. I feel like glass, I think there's like diminishing returns where it's like it gets too dangerous. There's glass on the floor. I feel like
everybody stops.
Yeah, like the Bath and Body Works, I feel like does not have a lot of glass. There's like a lot of.
Oh,
like
how
soap.
About a pet shop?
And then like the pets,
snakes
are
getting out.
Yeah.
The dogs are barking like mad. It would be the most chaotic fight ever.
No,
birds are flying out of their cages and pecking. No, no, birds don't get hurt.
Yeah, but
they're getting set
loose
during a fight.
Yeah, they're not getting hurt.
They're getting out of their cages.
Yeah,
and they're barking and they're tweeting, and it's just
You mean as I super suplex a dude? As I super suplex a dude in the middle of a pet store, he's not like getting crushing a chameleon or something.
No, you're knocking him into like the kibble, and then it's just like flowing out on the floor. Then after that.
Oh, so like a PetSmart, not like a real like.
No, I'm talking like an old school mom and pop pet store, like with snakes and birds and dogs and cats and lizards. And it would just be crazy. All the things are getting set loose.
That's like life in the jungle, Tyson.
And you're.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, you. Danny walks in. He's like, I'm looking for a monkey. And they're like, oh, sir, we don't sell. And then as somebody exits, he's like, come with me. Goes to the back. And there's like a whole trough full of monkeys.
I thought you were going to say I go in asking for a monkey, and then as a passenger leaves, he says under his breath, "You are a monkey." And then I just start fighting him. I smash a snake.
That's what happens.
Over.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. What did you say to me?
Say that again to my face.
Say that to my face. As yeah, he's like, I did say it to your face, you monkey.
Slap him with a lizard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I don't know that I've ever been in a fight, but I almost had an old man beat me up because I wanted to cough super loud when he was smoking next to me. I was probably like 12, and this dude just walked out and started smoking a cigarette like right in my face almost. And I just went like this. And he turns to me and he's like, "If you don't shut up and walk away right now, I'm going to jam this cigarette straight Whoa. Down your throat and make you eat it." Yeah. Wow. And I was like, wow, that was a lot. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a kid.
Yeah. To a kid. Yeah. It was, but it was a different time. It was the 80s, you know, yeah. The early 90s, I guess.
Mm. Yeah.
So I got
that's
to fight
when you
biology.
Were supposed to say that stuff to a kid.
Yeah.
I probably would have gotten in trouble from my parents for even saying that to an adult.
How dare you?
Back then, but now they'd be like, kudos on you. So let's hear about your fight in biology. What was it about? Was it about creationism versus...
you can't versus even... Evolution, terrorism. Tyson. No.
It was too good.
No, it was... My teacher left. I can't remember why. He left the class right at the start of class to go get something. And I was talking to the older kid in front of me. I think he was a junior and I was a sophomore. And I don't know why. I still to this day don't remember why I made fun of him for being allergic to bees. But he punched me in the chest after I laughed at him telling me he was allergic to bees, which, by the way, allergies to bees are very serious. So I punched him super hard in the face and he fell back on the table.
Did you say, do you like that sting? Did you say something about a sting?
I wish I had
point?
A cool line. I think
looks
I
like he just got stung, bitch.
I think I said a bunch of F words, like, why the F did you just effing punch me or something, like something high schoolish.
Yeah.
And then the teacher walked in right after I punched him in the face and I had said that. And you know, when you walk into a scene and something you like, you're reading the faces of the crowd.
Something doesn't feel right.
You know, something's transpired. Yeah. The teacher could not, he was like, what's going on? Like, what just happened? He could not figure it out. And the guy's like, I'm going to kill you after class. But I escaped and eluded him until he cooled down. And I never got in another fight. But
good job, Danny.
So weird.
Yeah. Are you friends with him now?
He actually, here's an interesting twist to this. This is very, very much an interesting twist. He actually went a day later to, I believe, a dance date with my sister.
Oh,
yeah. He got you back, dude.
And he had a black eye.
So hard.
Yeah.
No, no. He actually went on a date with my sister.
He started dating Danny's sisters.
Yeah. And now
no,
he's
never
your brother-in-law.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. No, not that far. The twist ended there. So
wow. So you gave him a black
eye. I don't like fights. By the way, I gave him a black eye. And by the way, I hate confrontation. That's like seeing this unfold. I think that I'd be able to sense the temperatures rising and the aggression growing. And I'd like to think I could just turn around and get out of it because
well, Danny,
I hate stuff like that.
If I go anywhere with Danny, I mean, granted, I haven't been anywhere with Danny in a long time, but I remember going places with Danny. And even me being like, I'm going to say something. And Dan's
like,
no,
don't. Please don't.
Like,
don't.
Yeah. Don't say anything, Tyson. I'm like, no, this. I need to say this to this guy because he's being a real asshole in public right now. And Danny's like, no, don't.
Don't.
And I'm the guy that will always say something to an asshole in public. And Danny's always like, it's not worth it. Well, just don't do it because I'm going to watch you fight, but I'm not going
to
fight.
Danny doesn't want you to say it because he doesn't want to get into a fight.
I want Tyson to.
And I don't want to get in a fight either. But I also want this guy to know that it's not okay to be an asshole in public.
Yeah. DePete says that this guy is down at the Bath and Body Works waiting for Danny to show up. That's one B&B.
Should we reschedule? I feel like this fight never really was finished and that we need to reschedule something. Rob, have you ever been in a physical altercation?
No, not really.
So you guys have lived
well.
Yeah,
it's something that you can't talk about. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, let's see. I had my best friend in sixth grade punch me in the face, and then I laughed at him.
That's the best really one thing mad. Right there. That's awesome. That's like the best defense.
That made him really mad.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a whole group of guys try to fight me by myself at a gas station because I guess one of my friends flipped one of them off at some point in time. And I just was like, you guys are going to look so cool when you beat one dude up and there's 12 of you. And they ended up leaving. And then that's about it, I think. I don't think I've been in a real other physical altercation other than that. Oh, at scout camp. Yeah. They were poking the bear and I was the bear in this instance. And I just pinned one of the dudes down and was like, I am going to break your face if you keep bothering me. And he was like, okay, I'm done. And that was it.
That was it.
Nothing since,
you've lived a blessed life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never had to punch a man at full punch. Yeah.
Normally fights are like this fight at Bed Bath and Beyond, meaning that the fight is a wrestling match. I think my dad years ago told me that it's better to be a wrestler than anything else because a wrestler can, that's what it ends up. The minute you get on the floor, that wrestler's won. He's going to put you in the most uncomfortable, humiliating position possible, have his butt in your face or whatever. And he wins because all fights seem to end up on the ground. Remember all the high school fights? It turned into a wrestling match, like 1-2 punches. You're now too close and you grapple just like this fight.
The fights I watched, some of them did, but the fights I watched in junior high were very brutal. Lots of blood, lots of face punching.
Yeah, but what high school did you go to again?
Pleasant Grove.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Sounds very pleasant.
I would expect that.
The number one fight school. The number one fight school in the state, probably.
Beautiful people don't want their face touched, so they end up wrestling because that's their moneymaker.
Yeah, okay. That's true.
All right.
Well, how would you fight Danny? Let's say that Danny's like
ground
in line
pound.
At Chipotle. Ground and pound?
I just said what you think. Oh, man. How would I fight? I don't want to fight. I seriously don't want anyone. First of all, I don't
but
like
let's
my
say
kids
there's no way out
face.
Of it.
People touching my face makes me so upset. And so it's just, I don't want any fist touching my face, a slap touching my face, another face touching my face. I don't want to get close to another person, touch another person in anger.
Yeah, but that's beside the point. It's coming down to a fight. What is your tactic? You have to fight. There's no way to escape this fight right now.
Oh my God.
Are you wrestling? Are you punching? Are you kicking? Are you trying to just like put him down for long enough for you to run out the exit? What's going on?
Probably. I don't know if I'd run. I think I'm too old. If this is a younger person, I don't think I can outrun them. I think that if my family,
there's nowhere to run. You're cornered. You have to have an altercation with them to get around them to exit anyways.
I know that a punch is imminent. I know it's going to be coming any second. I don't even know, like thinking about it right now, maybe punch them in the throat. Yeah. I don't want to kill a man though. I like, I don't want to cause any bodily harm to this person. I don't want them to have to go to the hospital. I don't want them to die. It's like, I just want this to be over. What move can I possibly do? If I was a wrestler, I could do that because I could grapple the person.
Yeah.
I think I would just go for a stone cold stunner real quick. It's just like a quick, like kick to the
just
midsection.
One. Hit them first.
And then when they're like doubled over, then you just drop a stunner on them and then hopefully then
end it.
So Rob Rob is gut kick as hard as he can. He doubles over and then you elbow him as hard as you can in his back while he's doubled.
So that's
then doubled over, elbow on top.
This guy's confronting me.
The stunner is like there's basically like you just like grab the person's head behind you and then you just like drop to the floor and then hopefully like the
the KO.
Yeah, it's a stone cold stunner.
This is what happens. I'm at
Chipotle.
And
then you turn around and you say,
I'm at Chipotle. This guy's confronting me. Things are getting tense. All of a sudden, Rob spin kicks the guy right in the balls. Fight's over. He's cleaned it up nicely. We just walk away. Yeah. Do slow motion.
Yeah.
No, the guy's okay. He might have like
move. It's a dirty move. But it's a dirty move. At the end of the day, like people, you just say like, you know, who won the fight? They don't really get into like, oh well, he had an illegal gonad shot.
I don't think I could bring myself to kick a dude full on into the gonads unless it was like a mugger or something.
Yeah, if they were huge, there are situations that allow, I think, for if the guy is huge, if he's the aggressor, if there's multiple
why guys. Not?
If you're an old man like we yeah. are, it's yeah, if there's multiple guys, there yeah. are reasons you could do a gonad kick. I was trying
to kick him in the stomach and I miss. I wasn't trying to do that.
Yeah, exactly. But let's just try to avoid confrontation.
Smart.
Yeah.
Just stay away from people.
All right.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Well, somebody who didn't avoid confrontation was RoboCop. Danny, I know you are a sci-fi movie connoisseur. Were you a fan of the original RoboCop movies?
Yeah, my parents didn't let me watch movies like that, so I think I've seen RoboCop, the first RoboCop, once.
Yes, and we've talked a lot about the Boston Dynamics robot dog and its use in police applications, but the OG was RoboCop, star of the 1987 film set in Detroit. The film was from 1987, but it was set in the future at a later date in Detroit. And so that the citizens of Detroit have crowdfunded a monument to RoboCop.
A fictional awesome. Character, which they did that to Rocky yeah. in Philadelphia. So that's yeah. okay.
Yes.
Yes. Same I love thing. It. So that $67,000 was raised to build the RoboCop monument, but now that there is some question about like where will it be displayed. Tyson, would you visit Detroit to see the RoboCop monument?
No, but if I was in Detroit, I would definitely visit the RoboCop monument. I wouldn't go there just to see it, but if I'm already there, I'm gonna make time to see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Danny's with me on this.
Yes. So this was like a older Kickstarter from going back to 2011. But the statue is ready, but nobody knows where to put it, Danny.
I believe that this swear that throughout time, since 2011, I've read about this drama. There was some drama involved with this. The greatest part about it is, one, this is the story you tell your children when you talk about seeing things through to the end. Right? How many projects can go on for this long and see completion? You know, most things are just abandoned. Something happens, health concerns, funding. But, dude, I just like that this is a story of someone who stuck with it to the end and built a statue. And it belongs somewhere very prominent.
Yes.
Maybe City Hall, the steps of City Hall, police stations.
I think.
Yes.
Oh, that would be perfect. Like in front of the police station at the main Detroit precinct.
Yep. Yeah, perfect.
I like it. Smart.
Yeah, I mean, RoboCop, the statue that he is not holding a firearm like the original RoboCop was doing in the movie poster. So it was a little bit more expensive than the $67,000 that was actually raised. But it's done. It's ready to go.
It sounds like they had a home for it, but then the place that was going to take it relented. They're like, yeah, I don't think we're going to take this anymore, which is a real shame. Mm-hmm. It looks like it looks ginormous.
It's 11 feet tall.
That is so cool.
It's so awesome, mm-hmm. dude.
Yes. They
so awesome.
It would be a tourist attraction, but now they're feeling like in the middle of a pandemic, drawing people to Detroit is not what they want to do. So that they are a little bit stuck here.
You know what I like about this story is that years from now, when someone's picking through the debris of the post-apocalyptic world, kind of like in Greece, we uncover a statue and it's like, oh, what god is this? This must have been... They're going to unveil or dig up this statue and wonder what god this was and what exactly we worshiped him for.
Not to mention also that last summer's protests against the police have made people also feel like that maybe erecting a giant monument to RoboCop might not be reading the room right now.
But it looks like RoboCop is extending a hand for a nice handshake to join communities.
Version of RoboCop. Why doesn't they put this at like Universal Studios or something like this? Does it have to be in Detroit?
Yeah, it does. That's the whole thing. It's like Rocky's in Philly. The RoboCop is in Detroit. What are it some other heroes from other cities that we can erect?
The other thing with RoboCop is I think RoboCop started off as a bad pre-programmed killer, but eventually his own personality invaded his software and he became a compassionate guy who
compassionate
went after the leaders.
Killer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the story is one
passionate killer.
Yeah, someone turning back on his masters and destroying the people that created him. And so it's kind of uplifting in a way, in a futuristic way. But I think it does have to stay in Detroit. It should probably be somewhere prominent. If not, I mean, I'll put it in my front yard. I would put this in my front yard.
Yeah,
I would put it somewhere too.
I want a line of cars as far as the eye can see to take a picture.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't think about that. I just thought it'd be cool.
Like the black mailbox from Area 51.
I know what.
In your parents' front yard.
I'll talk to Matt. We'll hook this up to the helicopter and go put it like a monolith in a remote place.
It's half a ton. Yeah, but maybe instead of a monolith, they should put like RoboCop statues everywhere.
Just out in the middle of the desert. Encourage some outdoor activities, people hiking, fitness, getting out there. It could be cool on top of a mountain. How cool would that be if you summited like a giant mountain, like Everest, and RoboCop's at the top ready to shake your hand and applaud your effort?
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't they put it on top of the tallest building in Detroit or something like that, where it's like... You go up, you view the skyline, and also RoboCop, the most famous robotic policeman of the 80s, is there on top.
Yeah, like an angel, a guardian angel looking over the city, keeping her safe.
The entire city. Yeah, exactly. There's places for this, and I think they need to keep
looking. Oh, there's so many homes.
And also, and RoboCop, I really do think that people, these cities should start looking at these iconic movie characters. Like people in the chat are saying, Kevin McAllister statue in Chicago. Pete says a Mrs. Doubtfire statue in San Francisco.
Yes, I like both those ideas. I think those are great.
Yeah, they're really great.
Okay.
So, we need to definitely find a home for this because this is too sad if this doesn't happen. It's like a missed opportunity. And we were so close. The statue is done.
It took 10 years.
Nearly at the finish line, friends.
It's ready to go. But now RoboCop does not have a home. So should they auction off RoboCop?
No, we don't want some rich guy to have it concealed. Yeah, we don't want that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We... Well, no, but it can be one of those ones where, like, the owner's, like, make sure it's the right fit and the person who's buying it is doing it for the right reasons and they're happy to have found a home that is befitting and in agreement with. I think they could come up with something.
A museum needs to pick this up and put it in. Some museum that doesn't get a lot of attention.
It belongs in a museum.
Yeah, like...
And then put it at the front.
Yeah, at the steps. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm with Tyson. I think there's so many places you could put this. And it's a pretty good looking statue. It was done well.
Yeah. Handsome statue of RoboCop. Very flattering. Okay. And then one more story before we get to Danny's bolt hole. Tyson, do you have an image in your head of what the health might be of the average sports fan?
Poor to severely poor.
That's the financial health. And yeah, that you kind of feel like that maybe it's not the idyllic like picture that you would paint of a person. But Danny, that a new book by an author from the New York Times is saying that no, that's actually not the case. Sports fans are healthier and happier than imagined. Now, is that just the result of low expectations?
Could be, because my image of a sports fan, sweatpants, Cheeto-stained sweatpants.
That's all of us.
Rage. Yeah. Lots of rage.
Yep.
Especially if you're a Jets fan, like yourself, like Rob, right? Lots of stress.
Yeah.
You're always
upset. But Rob's in fine shape.
But yeah, this is great. This is finally, I think, that
already.
Sports fans are getting the real research out there, not the stereotypes, but the actual hard-earned research.
Physically, Rob is in fine shape. Emotionally, sure, he's beaten down.
Very sad emotional
that's to be
shape.
Accepted.
Yeah.
But the with problem is, one my Jets teams, Super Bowl, all of that could be reversed.
The Jets are so bad that it's almost like, you know, you're already defeated. It's not, you don't even have any reason for hope.
But that would support his whole theory in this book, which is that sports teams are great because they bring people together. So it brings even Jets fans together. You know, there is a community there to gripe about ownership or gripe about
it's
management.
It's a sad community.
Yeah, a common interest shared among a huge number of people. Mm-hmm. And in his thing, he says that spectator sports are second only to religion in terms of social connection. So it's... Wow. It's like the glue holding society together.
I totally get that as far as like being like the sports fan of like a certain team that you have a shared history and a shared, you know, culture even with these people after going through a lot. Except also you're from the same region of the country if you are a fan of a certain team. So you have a lot of the same customs. And so it makes sense. What they say here is that a growing body of literature shows a direct connection between watching sports as a spectator and being a participant in the fandom.
And the other thing it says that's surprising, it says that it keeps your brain nimble by encouraging your mind to process quickly moving information that draws on a system of complex rules, which, by the way, is totally true. When I watch football with my brothers, I don't know anything about football. I'm always like, what's happening? Why is that guy doing that with his arms? And it's like they understand sometimes, and you're probably the same way, Rob, before the referee calls it, they can call what's happened, and I'm completely lost because I'm not nimble. My brain's not nimble enough to process all that information. But sports
back
fans,
in the 90s, when Rob would
computers.
Go to the games, he would take a mini TV to the games with him so he could watch the playback live on a little miniature TV. With a huge antenna. We had season tickets to the college football games, and there was a guy that was behind us that would with a headphones in his miniature TV, he would yell out the calls that the refs had made before the refs announced it to the stadium, and he always thought it made him look so smart.
Well, yeah, think of he's got the most nimble mind in that entire stadium. Like just like a ballet
dancer.
Except
for that, he was cheating with the mini TV.
Yeah, but think about how much brain power he had to have to bring the TV. No one else thought to bring a TV. He's bringing a TV. He's doing everything necessary to make it look like he's the smartest man in the stadium. And obviously he was.
That's true.
Okay.
He was.
Danny.
Rob, it says here, I've got something to read to you that should be helpful as a Jets fan. It says, the pain and disappointment of sports is temporary. while the joy lasts forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
when's Rob?
Yes.
I'm unfamiliar with the Jets' full history.
Yeah.
When's the last time the Jets have personally brought you joy?
So on the field, not as much. There's small wins though in transactions, trades, firings, all sorts of things. You know, I think that the promise of sports is hope. You know, like
the hope.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, where no matter how downtrodden you might be in life, like there's no promise of like, yeah, you know, we're poor now, but, you know, look, if things go our way, we might be like, super rich very soon. You know, sports does offer that where it's like, yeah, our team stinks now. But, you know, if a few things go our way, the right person walks through that door, we could be the champions, in 3 or 4 years if we play.
You're referring to Tom Brady.
Yeah. The right person could change everything around here.
I will say I was with an Uber driver out near Chicago, and I don't know why he was a Buffalo's fan out there, but he was. And he was talking about personal problems, right? And I'm like, I got to change the subject. I don't want to hear about his personal problems. They're too sad. So I had something in the car. I can't remember what it was. I brought up his team, Buffalo, who, by the way, I think did pretty good this year.
Yep.
Better than previous. The guy lit up. Like, it talks about being gregarious and optimistic. It's like that aspect of his life was the best thing. And he talked the rest of the drive about Buffalo, the Bills.
Yeah.
And so you can totally see how it impacts people in a positive way.
Yeah. So, that's what.
And you got out of talking about a sad situation.
Yeah, so sad. Like, I was like, dude.
I wish I could relate. I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth. Thank you.
What about the Bills? And then, boom, 30 minutes later,
you
did nothing but talk about it. The happiest guy in the world.
Okay. All right. If you're interested more in that, the book is called Fans by Larry Olmsted. All right, Danny, are you ready to take us to your bolt hole?
Yes, please join me.
All right, here we go. Danny's...
I don't know if I have the bandwidth for the song.
Okay.
Welcome what does that mean?
Emotionally, I think.
Yeah. You're gonna like it. I think you're
gonna feel you belong. Yeah.
I think we should start an alternate podcast called Study People.
Yes.
Or Survey People.
Yep.
Because so many, I just love articles that come from the 2000 survey people because they're conflicting all the time. We've done studies on how money makes you happy, right? For sure.
Yep.
I'm sure. But study finds out of all the 2000 people, I'm just going to assume it's the usual study finds study. 2000 people, happiness comes from family and community. And nature. And this ties in with the football article that we just talked about.
Because it's outside.
But the best part about study finds and surveys in general is that you can find, it seems like, any study to justify your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or if you're arguing with someone, you're like, no, dude, there's research here. I'll show you that money doesn't make you happy. And then you pull this up. And then he's like, I've got actual research done by some people that says money does make you happy. And so here's one that's saying that family, community, and nature is the source of happiness and well-being. What do you think, Rob?
Give me those three one more time.
Family, community, and nature.
I think it depends who's in your family, who's in your community, and where you live.
Right. I think that's how an intelligent person would look at this and be like, that can't be a blanket statement for everyone.
Yeah. Or that every family is going to make you happy.
I would never have guessed that survey people have the best family. Maybe that's like the happiness is survey people. Like happiness comes from being the type of person who will take the time and do a survey from a stranger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, maybe that's what it's all about.
Where your money comes from also.
Yeah. 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 I totally agree with that. Some ways of earning money are definitely more pleasant than others.
You can have a 6-figure job that you hate and not be happy because of the money.
And lots of people do. So this study didn't have the usual 2000. This was only 678. So I don't know how legit this one
678?
is.
678.
Yeah, 670. It's a weird.
Well, number. A lot of survey people don't. Probably couldn't weigh in on this completely because they don't have jobs that they're going to every day. You know, so they don't have the same. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah,
and probably certain criteria you have to.
And also, the people were surveyed. They were from the Solomon Islands and Bangladesh. Oh. So I don't know how relevant mm-hmm. this is to all other cultures and people, but it seems like in these cultures, it was, you know, they probably don't have any prospects for money. And they're like, dude, this is all we've got. Community, nature, family. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they're more family oriented there.
Yeah.
In those countries. But I think that, like I said earlier, if we were to go through all of the studies available to us that have been done, we could find the studies to justify any kind of lifestyle. Like, studies find that spending time at Caligula, listening to News AF and going to Caligula will maximize your happiness. It's like, you could probably find something that justifies that.
Why do those two things have to be together?
I don't know what I'm just saying, but if that was your lifestyle, you're like, I go to the buffet at Caligula's after listening to News AF. I'm super happy. Life is good. But people are like, how could you be happy going to Caligula's and eating the food? You're like, dude, I have a study here that shows mm-hmm. that orgies with strangers and buffet food maximize happiness.
Yes. Buffet shrimp cocktail, specifically.
Yeah.
Don't try the sea grapes.
No.
Yeah, do not try the sea grapes.
From this podcast today is that the ocean does not have an apple and that sea grapes are a lie.
Mm-hmm. Wait.
Yeah.
The ocean could very well have an apple that has not been discovered yet.
Sure.
But that's not the point of the apple, is that the first people to eat an apple, it was just on the ground and they came across an apple tree and they're like, this is delicious. I'm just guessing, by the way. But the ocean isn't pushing out some delicious fruit onto the beaches that we can just walk up to and snatch up and take a giant bite of.
That we know of yet.
Yeah, fair enough.
Oh, come on. I mean, really?
Sea cucumber? Have you tried a sea cucumber?
Well, I don't even know what that is. Is that a real thing? Is that you? Is that
it.
Like
I've heard it talked about on Survivor.
Liv says oysters.
Yeah,
oysters.
Can you pick up an oyster on a beach, or do you have to dig down and pry it off a rock?
I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, you got to pick an apple. You're not gonna pluck an apple off the ground and eat it unless it's you're standing.
Look, I'm just
around
saying with the ease
fall.
Of an apple,
Sir
Tyson.
Isaac Newton.
Yeah, exactly.
So I will.
Yeah.
Sir Isaac anyway. Newton, don't eat apples off the ground.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Danny, anything else for the bolt hole?
No, we've given so much. We've told you two ways to be happy. Your fandom will make you happy.
Yes.
The community, nature, family.
Yeah.
So just mm-hmm. take that and run with it. You'll be happy.
And by the way, we didn't...
not money.
Yes. Address the exploding meteor, which blew up over Vermont with the force of 440 pounds of TNT. It was the
That's
size
so
of
cool.
a bowling ball, but exploded with a massive explosion over Vermont. Tyson, that would scare the hell out of me.
It sure would. Yeah. Did they hear the explosion?
I think people heard it.
I think it's so bright. If it happens at
and
night,
then
it'll light up the night sky.
It's probably it, and awesome. They said, no loud boom was reported, but a rushing sound made people look up at the right moment, and it was bright and spectacular. So it doesn't sound that scary.
Here's the thing, though: the size of a bowling ball, and so you're like, wow. If that was the size of a bowling ball, you begin to like. Imagine as it gets bigger, what kind of damage it would do.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you realize that we're very lucky that nothing too large has struck the earth. I mean, we talk about it all the time. What is there? 100 they've calculated or tried to calculate all the possible objects that could strike earth that are in the orbit in our solar system. And there's quite a few, I think tens of thousands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a reminder that we're living on the edge.
Okay. All right, so be careful, everybody.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yes. All right. Danny, we talked about Mediocre Amateur at the start of the show. Where can people check it all out?
YouTube. Mediocre Amateur is on YouTube. I'll probably be putting out a new episode, a rather chill episode
What's tell the me pitch something Rob for the could, mediocre amateur recruiting a listener or what?
So when in my trailer, it's basically meant to say that it's for, I used to have more blue collar people who would go out with me, you know, so it's like for the everyday kind of dad who wants to get out and do adventures. This is for him. Like, and it gives people ideas. A lot of people say, hey, I never thought to go there. It's just hopefully motivates people to get outside and maybe
get
go
away
to
from
the
rat
limit
race for a minute.
Yeah. And learn new skills, go to the limit of their, you know, risk taking and not beyond it, and just get out there. Hopefully motivate them.
Okay.
So,
all right. Check it out on YouTube and on Instagram. But Danny, you cannot send him a message.
No, and by the way, I'm not very good. I'm not like Rob. Rob's awesome.
I'm not great at responding to messages.
No, but you communicate. You're putting stuff out there all the time. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I still follow you on that thing you've been doing
Clubhouse
a lot lately. Clubhouse. You're on it all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have such a hard time talking to people I don't know. And so I do stories, I do pictures, and then people write me stuff, and then I feel super guilty I don't respond.
Yeah.
So I'm no Rob.
Yeah. Well, Danny, don't beat yourself up.
I won't. Mm-hmm. But
it makes
I do
you
think
feel
about
any better.
It.
My wife hates Clubhouse and gets mad every time I go on.
I do.
She does.
She doesn't like it. She doesn't get it.
Why? Because you're giving away free content?
No, I just think she doesn't. I think she thinks I'm just being like, I'm just goofing off. That she doesn't like see like all of the steps that go into. Like she understands, oh, okay, you do the podcast. There's commercials on the podcast. Oh, there's patrons. Like, okay, you have to do the podcast. The other stuff that I might do, she doesn't get like, well, why are you doing that when you could be, you know, watching the kids so I could take a nap?
Because happiness comes from community,
right.
And this is Rob's community,
yeah, we're working,
and it makes
we're
him happy.
We're working on something. So, she doesn't get it. Tyson, you're on the road, you know, having a wonderful time with your family.
Sure.
Are you pickleballing in San Diego?
Yeah. I'm going to try. I have gotten on the Pickle Play app to look for games and hopefully find somewhere to play, but I don't know if time will permit, but if it does, I definitely am going to show up to a court and get my pickleball on.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I love your videos, Tyson.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
What?
Said I like your videos, your pickleball videos.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
do you?
Your quads.
I'm trying to get a little better at them.
Your quads were looking ripped. I was glad to see they hadn't turned into just a giant soft mass. So,
yeah, like my core.
I don't want to see your core.
Yeah. All right. Tyson, okay. Anything else?
No, I don't think so. I think that's it. We got same time, same place next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, next Tuesday.
And other than that, thanks everybody for listening. And Rob, you're going to be on Clubhouse right after this, I assume.
Maybe. I probably need to jump on the phone and make some phone calls. But I'll get some Clubhouse in here on Tuesday, and then back to podcasting. Going to talk about the 31st best season of all time of Survivor Game Changers on Wednesday night. So been watching that all morning long. Watched 3 episodes of Survivor Game Changers.
You're a marathoner.
Yep.
Dude, you're so awesome at this, Rob.
Why?
You're so good at watching TV and then
talking about it.
And it's crazy because every single season, are there seasons where you're just like, come on, not with this one right now. Can we? Or is every season, are you excited to just like jump right in?
I am excited because I feel like.
Or is the worst behind you now?
The worst is behind me, presumably. Like there might be some more boring seasons coming up. I think some of the older seasons I think are kind of boring to watch, but I think that they're remembered more fondly.
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll see. But I'm excited.
Well,
you know, I
that'll be interesting to see.
About anything.
Yeah.
You know, you put it in front of me, and then I can come on a podcast and be, you know, worked up about something.
Yeah, I love it, and I respect you.
We talked about Big Brother Canada even last night, Tyson. Big Brother Canada.
That's fine.
You know.
How is Big Brother Canada?
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's better than Big Brother US. It's a low bar.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've not watched either, so I have no frame of reference whatsoever.
Yeah.
So
I'm still talking about 90 Day Fiance also.
That show sounded good.
Yeah, we love that. And yeah, that did sound good.
Danny, I'm telling you, you should check out Tough as Nails.
Oh, by the way, I will. I asked my wife, I said, hey, we need to watch The Wives of Salt Lake or whatever it was.
Yes, Real Housewives of Salt Lake.
You should have seen her response when I suggested that we watch it. She was like, ah.
She was so excited.
She was like, I'm not.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was like, oh, well, okay.
I didn't know Liz was such a hater. Oh, I almost forgot. Yeah, I asked my wife about Real Housewives of News AF. and wife was very into it.
She wants to do a podcast with Liz and Rachel.
I think what she was actually very into was that I told her I would do the Zoom school with my kids and that she would then do the podcast. But she said she was I thought she would be like, I'm not doing that. She was, in fact, excited about the prospect. And she said it was going to be very funny.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, I'll talk to Rachel about it, too. Danny, did you talk to Liz about it yet?
I'll bring it up. I'll see what she says.
Okay. Let us
remember,
know.
My problem is she reveals so much.
What, I mean, what if then, what if Danny is the only holdout? And then what if it's Nicole and Rachel and Danny?
I won't be the only holdout. If Liz wants to do it and Rachel wants to do it, I've got no
problem
with that.
That might be just as funny if it was Danny and Rachel and Nicole.
Oh, my gosh, no.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Now you have to get...
I have... Yeah, okay.
You have to get
That's
Liz
the motivation is, okay, Danny, if you can't get Liz, you have to do it, then.
Yeah.
That's fair.
With the ladies.
Tyson, what do you think about that idea?
I like it. I don't know if Rachel will go for it. I'm like 50-50. She's either going to love it and be excited about it, or she's going to be annoyed that she has to do, like, a little extra... talking and stuff.
Talking.
It's going to go one of two ways.
All right.
Okay, yeah, she's either going to be like, you always volunteer me for this type of stuff and I don't want to do it. Or she's going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to do it. And you know what? Mm-hmm. Your whole entire fan base is going to want us every single week and you're going to be out of a podcast.
Yeah.
So it's going to go one of those two ways.
All right. So we'll see. And then offer, you know, either it could be Nicole and Liz or maybe Nicole and Danny.
No, it's not. It's not going to be.
I'm going to offer her both.
No. If Rachel says yes, then I'm sure I'll talk to Liz. So let's do it one step at a time. Okay. Rachel's the next step.
But we're still going to have to do the bulk of the work. You're going to have to get the stories curated.
No, that won't work.
And then we're going to have
I told Nicole I'll do the story. She's like, no, we'll talk about what we want to talk about. Like, all right, fine.
This sounds so good.
Yeah. I think it'll be a great episode.
I'm excited. Okay.
Should that be
Rachel.
News AF 300?
Maybe.
How far away from it are we?
Episode 281.
Okay,
in 3 months? No, we
strike while the iron.
Let's get them on earlier than that.
All right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.